Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert.
And welcome to Happy Horror Time.
And let's do it again. And this is Happy Horror Time.
2020.
Can we take the rhythm of that but make it Happy Horror Times? And this is Happy Horror Time.
Sure.
Sure.
You mean right now, you mean to stop?
I think we should do it and say, and I'm kidding, actually. I'm
Matt, totally sounds, kidding. You know what that sounds like?
A lie.
Work.
Work, and we don't like to do work here, do we, Tim?
You better work.
We have done, this is now, I think, our fourth or fifth virtual one.
Yeah.
It's funny that it took a pandemic to get us to do this more often.
I know. You know. So this is the one silver lining out of the pandemic. I don't want to think about people
dying.
I didn't want to say that.
We have a horror podcast, but you don't want to think about people dying.
Right, on screen?
Yeah, yes, you're right. Fake people.
Fake
totally
actors,
cool.
Actresses.
Dying of sickness and despair. No, not fun. No, I agree. I don't like to think of real life death.
No, I don't want to even talk about COVID-19, Corona. I don't want to talk about that.
Corona, COVID-19.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, you can call it what? Coronavirus or COVID-19. I always think, is it because there are 18 other COVID viruses that this one is 19?
Yeah.
You're like, yes,
yeah,
Dr. Murdoch.
Murdoch.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's even in my name.
I think because, have you ever read, and I love that this has nothing to do with it.
Books.
Have you? No. I was going to say in the articles where they say other COVID diseases like COVID this, so I'm thinking there's got to be 18 others.
Was swine flu on the spectrum?
There's either, I have, this is could be completely wrong. There was a MERS, M-E-R-S virus and COVID viruses. They're all acronyms that stand for something different, so I don't remember if swine flu was one of the COVID viruses or the MERS one, or maybe I'm totally wrong.
Listen to podcasts to escape this topic, and what are we doing?
Let's talk about the topic. No, you know, I go through this all the time. People say, I don't want to talk about it, and it's like, you can't not just because it's the state of the world right now and for the near future, so... Yeah, but we don't have to talk about it.
No, I don't mind.
Hey, death, despair, sickness.
Pandemic, boredom.
Woo! Oh. Wait, what were you going to say there? You were about to say why. Is it because of the pandemic you think we're doing this more often?
Oh, yeah, yes. I think we're doing podcasts more just because we can. I mean, I don't want to say we have. Is it more free time?
It is. Here's the thing. My work, I'm still working the same amount of hours, but I don't have to do the commute, the fully getting ready, all of the little things that take up that extra amount of time, nobody has to do right now. So I'd say, yeah, a little bit more free time or just time when you're home and want to do something that would normally be filled with even going out. Like you're not going to bars, you're not going to restaurants, maybe outdoor restaurants.
I'm doing all of those things.
Speaking
I'm going
of
to concerts, I'm going to movies, I'm going to sporting events.
Speaking of our gay update for the week, we should have a gay update for the week. Was it you who sent it to me, or were we talking about that
you
Flaming Saddles?
Any other friends.
You're right. Was it you or George Glass? George Glass.
Yes,
it was
George Glass.
That Flaming Saddles closed down.
I actually walked past it today, and there's like homeless people sleeping in front of it.
Can I, always a good sign.
Yeah.
Can I just say that when I read the article and they were saying like this is going to be controversial. No. The Flaming Saddles in New York is the original one, and that's a really good one.
I've been to that one.
Yeah, and that one is the original, and it's a great Flaming Saddles. This one, it doesn't, the charm, what I used to think of Flaming Saddles is that it's a real country line dancing bar that plays like country hits and stuff. The one in West Hollywood, yes, they have hot guys and girls that dance, but they're only playing pop music, so it doesn't feel like a normal Flaming Saddles. I don't know. That sucks that it closed down. It just wasn't one of my favorites anyway.
I agree. And it looked like Trunks was on the verge.
Oh, no.
I mean, not that Trunks. I mean, I'm a lover of the Trunks.
No, your favorite. You know when the Abbey and Chapel go that well. Those will never.
I walked past those two, and both of those are doing very, very well.
I mean, because people, even now, it's been too long that people are now going to just get board and like go to bars.
I mean, you
anyway.
Know what though? If we know the facts, we know to 6 feet apart. We know masks. So,
but how do you do that at a bar? I've always wondered at a bar.
I know bars are gross.
There's literally, I've never been to a bar unless it's completely empty where I'm 6 feet away from everybody. It's impossible,
but you know,
right?
The way they, I guess they do it is everyone's seated. So it's not like...
Oh, and only the outdoor areas, right? Yeah. Anyway, okay, no more COVID talk. We should talk. There are, and we talked about this last time, that there have been a lot of great on-demand releases, mostly because nothing is coming out in real life, in real life.
Real time.
Nothing's coming out in real life. Although drive-ins are doing pretty well. Drive-ins now are like the only... are they the only theaters open?
Movie theaters are open. Like, I've seen on Facebook walls, like, theaters like in Texas or like one theater's open in the
good old Texas.
Good old Texas. Don't hold me to that. We've got so many Texas listeners.
Yes. Well, for our Turkish listeners, we're in LA and no movie theaters have opened here because the corona cases are still very high in California. But wait a second, they're high in Texas and Florida too. Here's the difference. They just don't care.
Florida's has low numbers.
Margo Largo. Speaking of, No politics. I was going to say, super spreader event, RNC, last day. That's all I'll say.
There's no school, but let's have something on the White House lawn. What? I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, guys, everybody make sure you're social distance, except if you're attending my speech at the Republican convention. 1,500 people packed together, no masks.
But no school.
No, he says, but no, he wants schools to open.
I know, that's the irony.
Oh, yeah, I know. Anyway, we should talk about, we have two pretty new releases. I think they're new releases, although I just checked one of them on IMDb and it said it was a 2019 movie. Are they just like holding movies to release?
I don't know. I came across the movie because the lead girl's so pretty. I got lost in her eyes.
This is 1BR?
One do you want to do first?
We could do
1BR. Let's do 1BR.
Okay, so there's a, yeah. Oh, I know it. Oh, I was like, wait. When you said that, I was like, she's not. But she wouldn't be the person I would say, like, oh my God, those eyes. So I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
People can guess for the next. No. So the first movie we're doing that we just saw that came out on Netflix, I think it only came out last week, even though it said 2019.
Fresh.
Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Certified. Fresh. It is called 1BR.
Not 1BM,
which Tim did earlier.
Don't talk about my private
time. 1BR as in one bedroom. And it is about, to set the scene and then spoil it, of course.
Yes, I'm giving it all away.
I guess she'd be college-aged girl, right?
I think, yeah.
Or sorry, post-college probably. Yeah. Like immediate, so let's say early 20s, moves to, was it L.A.?
Yes.
Moves to LA and is looking for apartment, finds an apartment in a complex.
She works in fashion or trying to go to a fashion school?
She might have been. Yeah, she moved away from a small town to get, and she gets, she finds this apartment complex that on the surface, everyone looks so happy. They're all like meeting in barbecues, which no apartment, I'm sorry, unless it's Melrose Place, the entire, I barely know my neighbors.
I did know my neighbors in the first place I lived in Burbank.
But did the entire complex like meet together for barbecues and stuff?
When I say I met like maybe 4 out of 20.
Yeah, but that's actually more than I know my neighbor across, and I used to know the girl upstairs, and that's it. But she goes to this, and she's welcomed in, and she decides to get an apartment at this place, especially, like, there's the cute boy that kind of gets her.
It's a very diverse age group. It's diverse in multicultural.
Yes, and age. I will say, I don't know if you noticed this, one of the neighbors is the woman who plays Pepper on American Horror Story. Do you know?
Yes, I knew exactly who she was immediately.
You did? Because I did too.
She's got a very distinguished face.
Well, so Pepper, if you don't watch American Horror Story, is a very odd looking person. She was in the asylum one, I think, and she has like, she's bald and huge teeth. They make her up, but the woman who plays her still has a very distinct face. So I totally was like, oh my God, that's Pepper from American Horror Story. But she's one of the neighbors.
Yes.
So she moves in, and the first thing immediately she does that she's not supposed to is she sneaks her cat in, even though they have like a strict no pet policy.
Oh my gosh. Okay. It's so funny you just mentioned that because like I forgot what starts off. Someone slides a note under her door.
But it's not just like a, it's like She, yeah, like, after she moves in, like, a week later, she gets a note that says, like, stop thinking of just yourself, you stupid bitch, or something, yeah, like, really.
I was shocked. Okay, first off, that was, like, that would, that, to me, is the biggest mystery. Oh, who sent that?
Oh, I think it was the cute, well, because, real spoiler, I think it was the cute guy, because he's, anyway, I think, so, but she starts realizing that, like, okay, things may not be as they seem. She has this one really cool coworker friend who's, like, the strong, the girl who's, what's the line she tells her?
She said, it's my fucking life.
She's like, you know, the main girl, her name is Sarah, she's very timid,
timid.
And her friend is, like, very outspoken. I guess that's, like, me, right? Like, yeah. I just, like,
I feel she, like her, I'm
her and then I'm oh great then I get my, yeah. So yeah yeah her coworker like comes over and is just like oh this co-, just very outspoken whatever anyway regardless she gets the note under door and she's obviously like oh shit but I have my cat she's not gonna do anything but the next thing is should go right to what happens to the cat yeah yeah so one day she like I guess she wakes up from sleep and she can see that something's burning in her living room. She goes out, her oven's on, and something's burning in it. She opens it. Someone snuck into her apartment and put the cat in the oven and turned it on.
Which is crazy because they try to make her go crazy because they put the cat in the oven and then they also like bang pipes.
Oh, yeah, they do all these things. That's the thing. She what was this idyllic apartment complex, she starts noticing, I totally forgot that. That first she starts, it's like nonstop sounds during the night and she can't sleep. Then, of course, her cat gets murdered. That's so funny, little guy just meowed. Yeah, and then after that, people sneak into her apartment and like take her hostage.
Well, just to back up.
Oh yeah.
They picked her specifically because she was so vulnerable. She was fighting with her dad. Like they really go. They did like an open house.
Yes, you do find that out. Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. So it's like they picked her.
Yeah, it's true because a lot of people looked at the apartment when she gets kidnapped. She's shocked to obviously find out that the kidnappers are the tenants of the building. And she's like, what the fuck? Because the cute guy who was so nice to her. And they proceed to tell her that they're building a community.
Yeah. The weird guy that had like, his eye was punched out or like he had like one eye. And like,
oh, there's a weirdo that lives a few rooms down or something that creeps her out.
So
yeah.
He tried to give her a book that said community and she's like, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. She thought he was the weirdo, but really so she finds out this entire complex, not a nice complex. It's like they're training people cult like to be part of a community. But the biggest thing is that when they kidnap her, they decide to put her through. It's almost like a hazing.
This is the part that like, I really put myself into, like, I mean, like, could I easily be brainwashed? Could I, like, everything that they asked her to do was so bonkers.
So they do, and it is bonkers, but it made me think, like, cults probably do this. Like, so the first thing they have her do, which is so insane, like, she has to bend over and put her hands on the wall and keep them on the wall for hours and hours at a time. Whenever this light is on, her hands must be on the wall. When it's off, she can rest. And I'm talking, it looked like maybe 8 hours straight.
This is the most, like, I wanted my roommate to watch this because I was like, oh, he might like it. But this
he
is
loves torture.
He loves torture. No, but this is the one scene that I think would steer people away.
That was well, it got tougher to watch because this hazing gets even worse. She gets to a point where she's so exhausted she can't do it. And they come in
and proceed, in
Jesus crucifixion style, proceed to hammer nails into her hands through the wall so that she literally cannot fall down the wall and is stuck to it to stand up.
That is, to me, the worst scene in the movie. But oh, yeah, that definitely like, is. It also is a turning point. Like, okay, well, if they do this, what else? Where is this movie going to go?
And I'm also, I don't know, were you wondering as you were watching it, like, why? Like, what is this for? Okay, like, why can't you just build a community by, like, having some barbecues? Like, what? But they're training her. And again, I don't know a lot about cults and brainwashing techniques, but I have heard that I guess cults can prey on people when they're in their weakest states, whether you're A, exhausted, B, hungry. So you're a lot more,
and
I guess, susceptible
like they
when
fed
you're
her like a shake. they were pretty rough on her.
Really rough. And I'd say it was days and days where she constantly had to either stand up against the wall, bent over, or had her hands.
When they started quizzing her and asking her questions, did you ever watch Leah Remini's Scientology show?
I didn't, and I heard so much great stuff about that. Okay, I can't believe I didn't watch it.
There's even a documentary, and they ask questions like, tell us about your first sexual experience, because then they hold it against you later.
Yes, and they also want you to be as vulnerable as possible. But you're right, all this is like prime brainwashing techniques. Get someone tired, hungry, vulnerable.
Do you think like she still was still there enough?
Yeah, So I guess if we're moving forward, like finally she gets through. This is what I thought the funniest. After like torturing her, then they come in and they're like, they're congratulating her. You made it through. We knew you would. The whole community. We knew you were right for this community after literally, you know, crucifying her hands to the wall, torturing her. And suddenly they welcome her into the community and she's a member and she is going to, they're all going to be there for her. And it's,
and they there's like, there's like an old lady there, like they send her in to be like her best friend. And like, she's
oh
an old
God, that's
actress.
Another. So another thing we have to mention. But as Tim said, you realize that she hasn't been fully brainwashed, thank God, because I wouldn't have been. I wanted to root for her, and if she had been brainwashed, I wouldn't. She's still putting on a show, but she still retained enough of her mind to know that they're crazy. And that was one of my favorite scenes. The old woman, they decide in their crazy cult fashion, they all come in. She's old, but she's not dead. She's just like a little sick. And they say, well, you had a good run. You've given us all sorts of years, but it's your time. And she's basically like, you're right. And they put a bag over her head and suffocate her in front of everyone.
And then the girl that she bonded with, the main girl, like was holding her hand like, oh my God, like you're dying.
Well, at first, remember, she was going to help her and they pushed her away because they basically murdered her.
Yeah.
But what made it even more psychotic is the woman, it was like accepting it like, yep. That's what they do in this cult. And of course, the girl who hasn't been brainwashed, Sarah, is looking in horror but trying to mask it, because if they know she hasn't been brainwashed, you know, then right. They're going to probably kill her.
No, actually, the scene coming up was like where they had to get rid of the dad. The dad, like,
oh, yes, you forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tell the...
Does the grandma die? Grandma. I'm just calling her a grandma.
That's fine.
Does the old lady die first, or does the dad...
I think the old lady dies first, because that must make her realize they're going to kill if they don't want the person there.
The dad tracks her down, and first off, fun fact, the dad was in Friday 13 Part 6. He's one of the paintball guys.
I could see that. I was about to say, there's no way he's familiar. Yes. Okay,
so one of the people. She has to basically, they're like, get rid of him, or basically they're going to kill her and him?
I think they made it known, because if you join this community or this cult, you have to get rid of all other attachments in your life, your job, your family. You basically have to be forgotten by all of them. So when her dad comes to visit, they threaten her and say, either get him to turn away or we're going to murder him. I mean, like, they don't want anyone intruding on their cult.
I thought that was such a good scene. And I thought she did such a good job in that. And like the dialogue, like, both the dad and the girl were so good.
Well, because she has to pretend that she despises him to get him to leave. And he still is like, no, I want to be here for you. And she has to say horrible things to him to get him to leave. Because if she doesn't, he's going to stay and they're going to kill him. And literally, the guy, remember, was coming out with a knife. She can see the guy, her dad can't. He's coming out with a knife, basically threatening her, if you don't get him to turn away and leave you forever now, I'm going to kill him. So she has to say like such horrible, despicable things that'll make him never want to see her again.
I thought that was the most effective scene.
It was really effective, because imagine saying that to a parent, knowing you don't feel that way, but it's either that or they're going to get me murdered.
She did cry. I mean, like, she did have a breakdown.
She almost, that's when they were going to kill him, because she almost was going to be, you know, like, she loves her dad, but if she doesn't do that, they're going to kill him.
They really, really preyed on her weakness, because, like, she had trust issues with her dad because he cheated on the mom.
Yes.
So they really, really, like, poured alcohol into a wound.
The salt.
Salt into a wound.
Alcohol would hurt
alcohol,
too.
Alcohol.
I actually think, would alcohol hurt more? No, alcohol. Let's try it. Okay, here. Cut your arm open. No. Can I crucify your hands against the wall?
Yeah.
Let's try. I just want to test your friendship.
How much does this friendship mean to
Look, okay, when I turn on this light, put your hands on the wall. No, so after that, I think... Oh, okay, so then she has moved... They decide to... You know what? We need to match you up with someone in the cult. Another crazy thing. And they match her up with the creepy guy.
With one eye.
With the one eye and the glasses. But you start to feel a little sympathy for him because you find out that his wife had died. And he has been a little bit resistant to the cult too. But he's just stuck. Like, you cannot escape these people.
Yeah, and then since she's there for fashion, like, he brings in her, what's that thing called?
Sewing machine. Yeah. What's that thing called? It's a machine of sewing.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I forgot about that. You're remembering more than me.
Did you watch the same movie?
I did. I just like the details. Like, there's so many big. There's a lot of big scenes.
No, and you know what? Whoever took the time to write it, they did a good job.
Like, no, they did. But I really think it's someone who knows a lot about cults. Like, this wasn't, again, and I don't know a lot about cults, but the bare minimum that I do know, they capture how I would suspect an apartment complex, if it was running as a cult, would really try to wear someone down. And it just so happens that she was strong enough to go through.
So then, they get her coworker to.
Well, what happened is they do another open house and there's like huge amounts of people that come and they see her coworker and they think, oh, let's pick her because we can use Sarah to get her to be okay with everything we're doing and join, you know? And I think she just thinks that Sarah disappeared. She doesn't even know that Sarah still lives there.
Because when someone moves in, when someone moves in and they
cut off all their ties.
Yeah, they get on Facebook and they write a really horrible message. And so didn't they
write something mean to the coworker? Yeah. So the coworker thought that she had left her job and didn't want to be friends again. But here's the thing. If you're, okay, this is a little funny. If you suddenly said, I don't want to be friends with you, I don't know if I would go and move into the complex you used to live in. Like that, I don't
know.
But
she said that she loved the building.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But so the coworker comes and so they do the same thing to her where they kidnap her in the middle of the night, put her in this cell and, you know, make her do this, you know, holding her hands against the wall for hours at a time. But this girl, as we told,
resistant.
Yes, because she's very outspoken. She's not going to just fall prey to this. And she keeps resisting. So they decide, let's bring Sarah in to try to talk some sense into her.
And then even with Sarah there, she's like, you're crazy.
Yeah, so she's just like, you're
nuts.
They're
like, okay, well, we're going to have to were they going to kill her?
Well, they were, yeah. So they basically, they bring Sarah in. They realize Sarah can't talk her into it and they are gonna kill her and they're about to kill her. And I think that was the moment when, even though Sarah had been resisting a little, where she finally snaps out and realizes
I think she was following along so eventually she could escape, but here was the moment that,
yes, because they literally are about to, I feel like I've said literally a bunch today,
literally
not figuratively. They are about to, I think it was like, put a stake in her ear and kill her. So Sarah finally, she takes the stake and stabs the guy who's going to do it. And her and the friend are running. She's trying to get her escape. And then someone, the cute neighbor comes with a gun and
shoots
the friend, like her head, just shoots her head off.
That was such a disappointment because I wanted both girls to.
I did want it.
I was like, oh, damn.
You end up really liking the friend and the fact that they are able to escape at first and then the friend gets her head blown off. Basically.
But then that's when the girl, how does the girl get a gun? The main girl.
Oh God, why am I forgetting it? The girl, the friend gets her head blown off and then she.
Someone else has a gun?
I think she gets the gun. Little guy. Little guy.
Oh, what a cute
little guy. Little guy, I think my kitty is trying to get into the bedroom. I think Jacob may have the door closed. Anyway. I don't remember how she gets a gun. I just know that finally, you know, jig is up. She now needs to either go now. Oh, and one thing we forgot to mention, they have, it's like a lock on the front gate, right?
Oh,
so
it's
people
like
can't
it's like
escape.
A, like a beeper, like the way you like beep, beep. To
yeah.
Get
you,
into
so
your car.
The meaning, these people cannot even escape their own apartment complex. They keep them inside. But finally, she's able to get out because the guy, the one-eyed guy that yeah. you feel sympathetic for, helps her get out.
That was so awesome. I thought that was such a
great
moment.
But doesn't he get shot? I think, yeah.
He shoots himself.
Oh, yes. So he helps her escape. She finally gets out of the front gate, and then he takes the gun and shoots himself because that really was his only escape.
Oh, yeah, because the door shuts, and then you see blood go on the door.
Yes, because that was basically his only escape.
And then she's out.
So she's out, and you think, oh, my God, she made it, and she starts running down the block, and then she notices that a bunch of other buildings on the block are owned by the same company that
A symbol. Oh, to go back into the movie, they have to get, like, embroidered?
Oh, yes, they get it.
Behind their
When you join the cult, you get, like, branded. Branded.
When I say embroidered.
Embroidered. We just sewed a nice little thing. You get branded when you're a member of this cult behind the ear with this symbol. Yeah. Yes, and she notices the symbol on every building.
Oh, my gosh. And you know what? There are definitely strips in the Valley and West Hollywood. There's so many buildings that look like that.
That have like are owned by the same like yes. management company. And so apparently you think, oh my God, this isn't just this one building thing. This cult has taken over every building on the block. And then she just runs all the way across the neighborhood to get away. And then ends.
Then, like, there's like an alarm with like red lights on the street.
Oh yeah. So you think they're probably going to come after her. But at the same time, I feel like they couldn't risk this getting out. But it ends on this kind of bittersweet notion because she gets away, but you're like, oh my God, they're taking over building after building after building. This could spread.
I thought, you know, it almost had the same exact ending as remember the movie The Invitation?
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, they were in the hills and like they looked off into the hills and like they have red lights.
Yes, exactly. So you see that it keeps coming.
I mean, granted, two different films.
But I like those because it's almost like it's an ending that, well, first off, it always allows for a possibility of a sequel. And it just makes you think, I don't know, I like things that sometimes put it like it's up to your imagination. I don't like things that don't tell you anything. I think we talked about our last.
I think it told me enough that I was happy. Like she ran for her life.
I really liked this movie.
I do too. I thought it was
really.
It was up there with The Rental. Like I thought it was a great movie.
I really enjoyed it. Funny enough, because my whole family loves horror movies, and I recommend it to my sister.
Did your
sister
boyfriend watch it with you?
Yes, he did, and he liked it too. He liked it a lot. My sister and her husband liked it a lot. My mom, who loves horror movies, and my dad, who doesn't even like horror movies, liked it a lot. What I'm saying is that, like, when everybody in my family all likes the same movie, and because we all love horror, but we have different tastes, like, this is something I would recommend because it's not like it's a normal horror movie. It's not like, it's not a slasher. It's not supernatural. It's just, what would be the subgenre?
Cult?
I guess cult type. I mean, is that a subgenre? I guess it is.
Sure
cultish.
I think cults are fascinating.
Actually, because even like, I guess I almost feel like Texas Chainsaw Massacre is cultish because like the family and everything. Yeah, I guess cult would be.
It reminded me of Scientology. I mean, like yes. You need to watch all documentaries on Scientology and Leah Remini.
I know. But I think the reason why anybody will like this because, well, first off, as much as you could watch this and think that is so insane, it could never happen, look at the fucking Church of Scientology, look at some really hardcore religions.
It's happening.
I'm just saying it's not as far off or as crazy as you would think. And not just that, look at actual cults through history. This is the kind of stuff they've done. I mean, I'm trying to think of like David Koresh and in Waco, Texas, and how about the cult with the purple Kool-Aid? What was that, where they drank that all to commit suicide together?
A movie?
No, this is a real cult.
Was it Waco, Texas?
No, that was David
Koresh. It was before that.
There were, but I guess I'm just saying is that it's not as far-fetched as it may seem watching the movie because there are really cults and there's cult-like religions, so yeah. So anyway, I would recommend it 100%.
I recommend 1BR and it's on Netflix, so it's everyone has got Netflix.
I feel like everyone these days has Netflix, so you get it free. You don't have to pay to rent it.
Where did I look? I think I looked on Twitter. It's like number one on Twitter.
It is?
I mean, number one in Netflix. Sorry.
Oh, I was like on Twitter? I was like, everyone's talking
not
about
on Twitter, but I mean, like, someone posted on Twitter that 1BR is number one. So I was like, wow, that's cool.
Because it was good. It was well done. And even though, like, I think even non-horror lovers would enjoy it, those people are going to have trouble with the hazing scene because it is a little brutal when they crucify her hands in the wall.
Yeah, it's the one scene.
But that's the only part that's tough to watch.
Yeah, because anytime you see someone get a, nail through their hand
with a hammer. Which I see weekly.
Which at least. Watched on Family Feud tonight.
Yeah, Family Feud. Top 10 answers are on the. Ah! Wow, that's gonna
give
be
me your hand.
So the second movie. Wait, I just blanked. Oh, was that on Netflix too? The second movie.
I want to. Oh, frig.
No, it was. It was.
Was it? It's called We Summon the Darkness.
It is called We Summon the Stars. I think, I don't remember if you or I stumbled upon it and told the other one.
I think I saw it and I was going to send it to you, but then.
Did I send it to you, but then you had already seen it?
No, yes.
Or, yes. Oh, okay. So we both saw it. But I'm sure we both looked through our apps for like for the new releases and the new horror movies. But this one, it was new. And right away I noticed a couple names, not that they're big stars, but I noticed. The girl, Alexandra Daddario, who was in the Texas Chainsaw 3D movie.
2013, which I saw, fun fact, I saw twice in one day.
Why?
I was into it.
Real? I mean, I enjoyed it, but not like twice in one day.
You know what? I think I double booked. I was still single at that time.
Two dates with it? That's cool.
Yeah,
cool that was the movie with the dates. Not that you were two-timing, because I don't believe in that.
I definitely wasn't two-timing. I think it was just two separate dates. An afternoon date and an evening date.
That's so funny in the same movie. So it starred Alexandra Daddario, which I think we talked about this before. We both were like, how is she still playing young?
She is gorgeous.
She's amazingly beautiful, but if she was playing like 20-something... Seven years ago, is she still playing?
She could pass for a teenager. She could pass for an adult.
It is crazy. She still, all these years later, she's still playing like young 20s, I guess. And it also starred the girl from Hellfest. And I don't know the actress's name.
That's okay. We're not fact checking.
But she's been in a lot. She's one of those, I call them Kristen Stewart actresses, only because I don't necessarily mean untalented. I just mean passive. Like she's very like
there
this.
There is a... Hi. But, you know, it worked in this because that was her character.
She is just not, like, the most animated person. She's good. She's just one of those, yay.
And I don't know who the third girl was, the blonde. Oh. But she was funny.
Hilarious.
I loved her.
And hilarious eyebrows. Those eyebrows needed some tweak. Well, but let's tell her. Okay, so
these three girls are driving in the car to go see, I'm just going to say Metallica. I'll never remember the name of the group.
I think it was like a metal, but well, first off, we forgot. It takes place in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. 1988.
Yeah, yeah. It takes place. Actually, that's a good theme. This like cult theme. This is going to be a theme for, I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. One's, the theme was Satan and church.
But that's close enough. I mean,
I go to church every Sunday.
The background, they're going to a concert, but obviously there's news reports that there's been murders related to a satanic cult.
Right.
So you know that, and the girls are going to this like death metal concert. So when you start watching it, as I'm sure, I wonder, you're thinking, these girls are going to get attacked by the cult.
Satan. Yeah, well, they're... There's like a pastor on TV who's played by Johnny Knoxville from Jackass.
Yes.
Which, you know what? Still cute. He's still cute.
Really?
Because
I thought he looked so skinny.
Well,
and
his job is to get beat up.
But not anymore. He's got some new Jackass. He looks like he's been starving himself for 10 years.
There's a gun.
You're like, after Jackass, he just wasn't
making
a lot of money.
I don't want to talk bad about Johnny. He always instant messaged me and says, I love your podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't want to talk too bad about
him. Well, I mean, some people like looking emaciated, so maybe that's a compliment.
There is an, there's a look.
He just looked a little sickly. You didn't think so?
Well,
he looked
he's been in the hospital.
Is he really?
No. I mean, just because, you know, for the Jackass.
That was like 15 years ago.
Those things you don't just recover overnight.
They keep you skinny.
They keep you skinny and emancipated.
Anyway, yes, there's a pastor on TV who's like talking about going against these satanic worship. But like, they're in the 80s and the girls go to this concert and immediately they meet three guys. And I don't know what you were thinking, but I'm thinking, okay, what are these three guys, the satanic cult?
I thought... These three guys are either going to kill them or all six of them are going to be running from some kind of satanic
cult.
Cult.
Because they are purposely doing all these newscasts that they're hearing about a satanic cult murder. So you know that's going to happen. But yes, they meet these three guys. And as I was watching it more, the three guys are kind of bumbling, dumb guys. So I'm like, they can't be the killers. It's got to be all six of them are going to be the victims.
I agree. Like, there's one hot one that looks like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And the other two, good actors, but... Yeah, I mean, not...
One of them was from Love, Simon, was like that the annoying guy who outs him and outs Simon. And outs Simon. Outs Simon.
I loved Out Simon.
Basically, that's what it's about. Outing Simon. New movie. No, one of the guys was in Love, Simon. One of the guys I didn't recognize. And then there was the cute guy who looked like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And he has a mullet in this because it's the 80s.
Past the mullet.
But he had some muscles and he was cute. And they purposely, because they put him with the other two, he looked even cuter because he was much cuter than them. But it's funny because all three women are drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were giving these three guys the time of day, I was kind of laughing. These all three girls were so pretty, you know?
I agree. And so when they did invite the three guys back to the girl's house, I was surprised because I was like, okay, something's off.
Yeah, and that's what you're thinking.
Now the girls are interested?
That's the thing. So as you're watching the movie, the three girls after the concert invite the three guys back to one of the girls' dad's houses, and it's this huge, amazing mansion. And you're like, okay, what gives here? And I was thinking, okay, someone from the satanic cult's gonna attack them, all six of them. Well, should we just go right
yeah,
there?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So one of the Hellfest girl, we'll just call her, you start saying like seeming nervous about something. You're like, what's going on? Then you see the Chainsaw Massacre girl. I can't believe that we...
What's her name? Alexandra.
But her name is Alexis in this.
Oh, that's right.
You see her putting something in drinks, getting ready to drug the guys.
I didn't put that together.
You finally realize the big epiphany in the movie. Oh shit! The girls are part of the cult,
yeah.
Which I really give props to in this movie because
not really part of. I mean, they're part of religious cult, but they're making it look like.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Cult. So there's a twist, but I'll get to that in just a second because. So you realize, oh shit, these girls are part of whatever group is killing people. And so they drug the three guys and then they tie them up and
Wait. Well, first one guy, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt guy, kind of just falls down and like he's I guess drunk.
Here, give me 1 second. Keep talking
because I
need to let my cat into the bedroom or he's
going to
keep me
out. So Joseph Gordon-Levitt falls down and then the three girls all are like laughing at the three guys because they are going to drug them and then kill them. So yeah, that's where we are.
Okay, sorry. I had to open the door because little guy, our cat, keeps meowing. If
listen, I can't relate. I don't have animals.
Hey, you know what? Real life podcasting. So where were you? Oh, the guys wake up after being drugged. They're tied up. In their underwear, which is nice for the Hawkeye, not for the other two.
I know. But you know, good job for being shirtless on screen. Listen, it's okay. Tough.
The girls explain, the Alexandra Daddario and the blonde girl basically explain that they're part of this religious group. This is my favorite thing, that they are killing people pretending to be a satanic cult because it will convince people to come to the church because they'll be afraid of this satanic cult. So literally it's religion killing people to get people to be religious.
Yes.
Which is so, again, is it far-fetched?
Because religion
does some crazy shit to people.
There's some weird stuff going on right now.
But it is funny because like Tim mentioned, so all these murders are not satanic, they're just making them look satanic so that people get scared and join the church. And
yeah,
it's funny, like, I love all these like things people are putting in film against the church. If you can tell, I'm not a very religious person. I'm Jewish. I raised Jewish, but I just hate any types of like scaring people into being religious. And this is like the epitome, literally killing people to get people to be religious.
So the big one gets stabbed.
Yes. So the big guy is just antagonizing the girls and saying, fuck you. And finally he gets stabbed to death. And the other two guys are freaking out. And then the only girl of the three, the Hellfest girl, who's a little reluctant because I guess she hasn't been part of the cult, doing the murders yet.
Then it's revealed that Alexis, her dad, is Johnny Knoxville. And they brought her into this cult.
Oh, yeah. But you skipped her. The Hellfest girl says, hey, let let me kill the other two, basically right. trying to buy time instead.
To save him.
Yeah, to save him, because she's realizing this is fucking psychotic. And she tries to, does she set them, I forget. Oh, no, they get free themselves,
the, yeah,
right?
The cute one, like, I guess is like his hands behind his back. He gets free and then they hide in a cabinet.
Oh, they hide in like, yeah, a big cabinet. And the two girls that are dedicated to Colt are trying to do everything from spraying bug spray underneath the door to kill them
funny.
To lighting fire. I mean, it gets to be sort of comical because the girls become totally over the top crazy in a funny way, though. The Hellfest girl is trying to figure out a way to get help or do whatever.
But, and then, like, the girl's stepmom comes home.
Oh, and they have to add, like, another character. So the stepmom comes home, finds the dead guy that they've killed, and then Alexander Daddario, because she can't explain it, kills her.
Which was actually was a little shocked, but I was like, how else are they going to get rid of her?
Well, it takes a turn halfway through where it just becomes complete insanity, but I kind of liked it. Like,
me
it was
too.
So over
I thought the movie was derailed and it was funny.
I mean, the first half, I will say, the first half, you're waiting like, okay, what's going to happen? You know it's going to be involved with this cult murders, and you think the girls and the main characters, and it's going on. You're like, what's going on? What's going on? So when they did the twist and it's girls are the murders and the cult, I was like, okay, that's interesting. That's fun. And then, like I said, it just becomes insane. I mean, I will say Alexander Daddario did a great performance.
Yeah, I've never seen her be funny. I've never laughed at her.
But insanely funny. I mean, almost like Matthew Lillard's Scream, like insane. Insane, funny.
Super pretty, super funny.
Matthew Lillard is super pretty.
Yes, Matthew Lillard is super pretty.
Super
no,
funny.
No, but I mean, like, it was so unexpected because I think I saw her as The Rock's daughter in some movie and I didn't think anything of her.
Well, also, you think she's going to be the final girl, the something. So no. When she kind of snaps and you see she's part of this cult. But anyway, moving forward, the Hellfest girl ends up trying to help the two guys. Johnny Knoxville comes home.
Oh, he shoots one of the guys.
Shoots one of the guys. So it's down to the Hellfest girl, the cute
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I love it. We have the Hellfest girl, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the two crazy girls. Hellfest girl basically has a big fight scene with the funny blonde girl and lights her on fire.
Oh, she like lights her hair on fire. But then, you know, I thought she was going to come back for some final scare and she doesn't.
She doesn't because, well, when your face lights on fire, I don't know.
Well, they just showed her hair. I thought it would have been like a really good sight gag to have like a fried face.
You are right. Yeah, yeah. I thought, almost like, I mean, yeah, if you can light Chucky on fire, you can come back. Why can't you light
That's
her?
Right. Has because anyone seen Child's Play 1988? Anyone?
Oh, and then... But then the Hellfest girl throws Alexander Daddario out of a window and
Which was hilarious.
It was hilarious. And then runs her down with a car, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. And then she and the Joseph Gordon-Levitt escape after doing that. And you're like, okay, what happened? Did they kill? Because she hits Alexander Daddario and then she leaves. And then there's a news report. Johnny Knoxville's still alive. Basically blames all the murders on his daughter being a part of the satanic cult. Pretends to still be the religious official he is. And you see that the Hellfest girl and Joseph Gordon-Levitt made it and are going to have to just go away.
And they stop into a store to get like medical supplies. And this old guy in there that was in the movie prior... She said, don't believe everything you see on TV.
Yeah, because Johnny Knoxville is pretending to be the religious official, inviting people into his church because of these satanic cult murders. But he's responsible for the satanic cult murders. I mean, I guess if there's a message here, it's that religion sucks. No. I guess it is funny, like, the lengths people will go to get people to join their either religion, their cult, their community. There's, like, a good theme for this podcast.
I didn't even put it together, but the first one was about joining a community, which is a cult.
Sort of
a
cult.
And the second one was just, like,
religion,
we're
going to
use religion to kill you.
Well, it's, like, scare tactics. Any whether politicians use them, religions, of course, use them. So it's taking scare tactics to the, like, umpteenth level. It's almost like Spree, how in the movie we did last time, where he is so desperate for followers, he's going to kill people to get more people to tune into his channel. This is like this religious group is so desperate for people to join their church that they're killing people and making it look like Satan, you know, satanic cult, so people will join.
So Matt, to wrap it up, would you recommend either one?
I would recommend both, but I would say 1BR is a definite recommendation. Like, I am very sure that people will like that one. Welcome to darkness. We summon the darkness. I would half-heartedly recommend. It's a little over the top and gets a little campy, but it was fun.
I would say 1BR is very serious. It's more serious.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's more like, ooh, like, and then We Summon the Darkness, I think, is very funny. And I mean, I recommend both because I had a good time watching both.
I mean, if you like over-the-top campy horror, you'll definitely like We Summon the Darkness. If you like just any type of thriller horror, you'll like 1BR.
Okay, so just to wrap it up, because, we've got 2 minutes. Matt, you and I separately watched Bill and Ted Face the Music. Would you recommend it?
It's so funny because that is like,
I'm not breaking
horror.
That movie down because I couldn't even make
no,
sense.
No, no. I mean, and it's not even the right genre for this podcast, and we're very
but
dedicated.
But it's new. We want to tell you the truth.
I mean, look, this is what I'll say about it. Anybody who hasn't seen the other movies is going to hate it because it'll make no sense with if you haven't seen it. I enjoyed it from a nostalgic standpoint.
Same.
That's really all I'll say. You know, it's obviously it wasn't as funny to me as the originals because it lost its novelty. But from a nostalgic standpoint, I did enjoy it. I just think it's not going to bring in any new people.
No, I thought it was interesting to see Keanu Reeves and the other guy. Oh,
Alex
God.
Winter.
Thank you. I've seen all three. I guess I'd recommend it just out of pure curiosity, but I don't understand what was happening. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a great movie. I just think like a lot of people are going to say, Bill and Ted, I want to see. That's what we say.
I think people will see it just out of curiosity.
Of course.
All right. Thank you, Matt, so much.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you,
listeners.
Awesome.
You're awesome. You hang up.
No, you hang up. Everyone, stay safe, stay healthy.
And guess what? It's now about to be September, which means next month is Halloween, which means tons of horror movies are going to be coming out.
That's right. So we'll try to wreck them all for you.
We will wreck all of them.
All right, everyone.
Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.